The New Orleans Saints schedule is here. Are they going to be a playoff team in 2022? And everything you need to know about that schedule. We got all that and a little bit of land yap coming up for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this live Friday schedule release episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks as always for making us your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, USA Today's Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL. And here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. Thank you so much if you are here live, if you are watching or listening later. Appreciate you so much for coming through for today's show. The NFL schedule release show is underway, but you know they're going to be talking for like 3 hours trying to release the schedule. The schedule's out, ladies and gentlemen. It's there. We all know who the New Orleans Saints are playing when it comes to their 2022 NFL season. And we are here live. I just want to reiterate that on YouTube. If you are here live, I'm seeing you in the chat. Thank you so much for everything that you guys are doing, for being out here, all that good stuff. Now, I don't live stream very often, so if we have some glitches along the way, I appreciate your patience, but we're going to get this thing going. So the first thing I want to do is go through win-loss projections for the New Orleans Saints. Are they going to be a playoff team in 2022? Then we're going to take a look at the first half of the schedule, the first 8 games, and then take a look at the second half of the schedule with the next 9 games. All right, so let's run through. I'm not going to waste your time. I know what you're here for. You want to know if New Orleans Saints are going to be a playoff team or not. I'm here to tell you the way that this schedule shakes out, the fact that this New Orleans Saints roster is better in 2022 than it was in 2021, and the fact that this NFC conference is worse going into 2022 than it was in 2021 tells me everything that I need to know, which is the New Orleans Saints should absolutely be a playoff team in 2022. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a number one seed or a top seed, or that they're going to be a team that gets in, you know, with a division win or anything like that. They could finish second in this division behind Tampa Bay, who's got a kind of a lighter schedule and everything. I know if you look at strength of schedule from last year with win totals from last year, the New Orleans Saints have the 7th toughest schedule, but I have a secret for you. It doesn't matter. Strength of schedule doesn't mean anything because the teams that were good last year aren't guaranteed to be the teams that are good this year. So chill with the strength of schedule talk. Let's instead take a look at what these rosters will look like going into 2022. All right, so let's take a look now. Game by game, we're going to go with win-loss projections, and I'll give you a final record for the New Orleans Saints and my expectation. Week 1, the New Orleans Saints are going to open on the road against the bitter rival Atlanta Falcons. That'll be on Sunday, September 11th. That is, everyone, a dub for the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, I'm not afraid to say it. It's a dub for the Saints because who's the quarterback in Atlanta? Is it Marcus Mariota? Is it rookie Desmond Ridder? The New Orleans Saints are in a great situation when it comes to quarterback opponents throughout the 2022 season because there's not really a lot of very good quarterbacks on the schedule. For the most part, the Saints are going up against mid-tier, rookie, or low-tier quarterbacks all throughout the season, and that should work in their advantage, especially with the way that they have built up the defense through free agency and then also built up the offense that will hopefully set the pace and keep the pace going over on throughout the draft. Okay, so starting off 1-0. I'm going to be a little mean here, okay? I'm going to trick Quan Smith season, get out. I'm going to be a little mean here, and I'm going to give the Saints a loss week 2. Versus Tampa Bay, hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers September 18th. I know you're going to be mad at me for it. I know you're going to be mad at me for it, but move that loss to another week if you want to, whatever it is. I'm just going to say that that's one of those ones where the New Orleans Saints are kind of notoriously so slow starters sometimes. They drop some of the games early that they shouldn't, things like that. So I'm going to roll with that trend, and we'll talk a little bit more about that game as we get into the second segment here. So Tampa with a loss there, September 18th. That'll be week 2. So the Saints starting off 1-1. They'll come back in their third consecutive division game, traveling to the Carolina Panthers. Playing what quarterback there, right? Is Matt Corral going to be the starter right off? I wish I could announce Jarvis Landry. I wish I could do that. Is it going to be a situation where Matt Corral becomes the early starter for Carolina, or are they going to be rolling with Sam Darnold? In either case, give me a W there. I'm also going to take a W for the Saints 2 weeks in a row in London against Minnesota. The New Orleans Saints have played five total international games, which include three games in London, one game in Mexico City, and one game way back in the day in Tokyo. And they have won every single time. I'm taking them to go 6-0. Two of those games are regular season, three of them preseason. This will be their third regular season international game. Give that one to me. That's a W for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm going to give them the next one against the Seattle Seahawks. Again, low tier quarterback play in terms of opposition for the New Orleans Saints this season. So give me the win against the Seahawks week five at home. Next game, they will be hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a complicated game for me. I don't understand, first of all, why this game is at noon. This game should be flexed to a primetime position or at least to a national spot, even if it just gets flexed to 325 or whatever. But I'm going to take the Saints to drop this one as well. Two early losses in the first, what have I done so far? First five games, not bad, 3-2 to get started. But then I'm going to take the Saints to rattle off a couple more wins. At Carolina, Thursday night football, week seven, October 20th. That's a W against Kyler Murray and something. Who knows what they're going to have out there or not have out there when it comes to the Cardinals, their skill position players. Remember, DeAndre Hopkins suspended for the first six games of the season. So he'll be coming back for that week seven game, it looks like. But how good is he going to be? How rusty is that going to look? All of that. So I'll take the Saints to win that one week seven and then follow up with another win at home against the Las Vegas Raiders week eight. Okay. That's the first eight games of the season. That's the first half. So I have the Saints coming out of the first half of the season, 6-2. That's really, really good. That's a really, really good situation for them to be in because the schedule gets really, really rough starting week nine. Week nine, they're going to be hosting the Baltimore Ravens on Monday Night Football. I'm going to be honest. I think they can win that game. I really, really do think that they can win that game week nine against Baltimore, but I'm going to pencil in an L there right now because I don't want to get too like hasty and giving them all these different W's. April Cage is going to the Thursday night Arizona game. That's dope. So I'm gonna pencil in an L here, but then they're going to come back and redeem themselves in Pittsburgh week 10, November 13th, up against, I imagine, Kenny Pickett, maybe Mitch Trubisky. I don't know. Again, that puts them in a situation to where they're going up against mid-tier level rookie quarterbacks. So give me a W there. So that puts them, bumps them up to, at that point, 7-3. I'm going to say that they're going to drop the game to the Rams at home. It's just going to be tough at this point. You're starting to feel the fatigue a little bit. There's going to be a lot of emotion in that game. That one feels like one that goes down to the wire, but then something goes wrong. Not like the last time something went wrong when it came to the Saints and the Rams in a late game. It's not going to be like that, but I'm just saying something will end up happening late in that game. Fatigue will set in, whatever. Then I'm going to take the Saints to go on the road twice with W's here. Once to San Francisco, that's a 325 game, week 12, November 27th. And then again in Tampa on Monday Night Football. Give me that W for sure. Give me that W right there. So that gets the Saints to their week 14 bye week. Then we're going to wrap this up with the last four games. Wins against Atlanta and Cleveland. I'm going to take them to sweep Atlanta. I'm going to take them to get that win in Cleveland on Christmas Eve. I'll take them for a third straight loss in Philadelphia against the Eagles on New Year's Day, week 17, and then close out the season with a week 18 win, therefore a sweep against the Carolina Panthers. So that gives us a ton of wins for this season as we look to project this. And then we end up with a, as I look this over, 12-5 record for the New Orleans Saints, which everyone, that's a playoff team. And the New Orleans Saints should absolutely be that playoff team. So I've got them finishing 12-5 with my way too early projections and all that. But we're going to continue to update that, continue to look at it. But I got them going 12-5. Let me know. What do you think? You think I'm wrong? You think I'm right? You think more? You think less? Let me know if you're watching live in the comments. Otherwise, you can let me know at Ross Jackson on Twitter and, of course, in the comments after this goes up on YouTube. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at the first eight games for the New Orleans Saints because they're favorable. A lot of winnable games there. Why is it so important for the New Orleans Saints to win those games? We'll break it down and we'll talk a little bit more about that quarterback factor because the Saints are way ahead when it comes to the quarterback conversation and those eight teams. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about our friends over at betonline.net. Make sure you go and check them out. They have the Saints right now at over under 8.5 wins. Give me the over all day. The favorite there is actually the under. So you can make some money by betting on the over. I got the Saints winning 12 games right now. I might have them winning more depending upon what happens throughout the season. So I'm going to take the over on 8.5. If you want to get in on that or anything else going on around the New Orleans Saints, the NFL, the MLB, the NBA, you've even got, you know, you've got NFL futures that you can get in on as well. Baseball scores, fights like UFC, MMA, there's just so much. So go check them out, even esports over there. So go check them out, hit up the website today or use your mobile device so that you can learn about all the trends in action and get in on that action over at BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, y'all. Next piece of the puzzle as we continue on is going to be about the first 8 games of the season. So I appreciate you very much, as always, for making us your first listen of the day here on Locked On Saints. Let's break it down. So the first 8 games of the New Orleans Saints season give them a ton of opportunity to get off to a really, really fast start. I've seen a lot of people agreeing with 12-5. Somebody said more wins, like 13-4. 9-8 is the floor. I would agree with that. Like, that's the floor. That's like the worst case scenario. That's what the Saints were last year with 4 starting quarterbacks and an NFL record 58 starters, right? You have to be better than that, considering the roster at this point and considering that this defense, the run game that's going to want to get to percolating, the passing game that's going to want to get going, all of that as well. So let's take a look at the first 8 games for the Saints. I have the Saints coming out of the first 8, 6-2. And that's really, really good for them because they need to get off to a hot start here. Listen, they're opening up the season week 1, 2, and 3 against the Atlanta Falcons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Carolina Panthers. 3 straight divisional games. So if they can come out 3-0, 2-1, whatever it might be when it comes to those 3 games, that's huge for them. Because not only does it set them up on par and on course to be a very successful early season team, which you'll need with a very, very tough back half of the schedule, it also sets you up to be ready to dominate your division, right? And eliminate any of those weird tiebreakers that can happen within the division, right? It'll also give you 2 or 3 immediate NFC wins, which would be great for any of those other tiebreakers as well. So if you're looking for the Saints to win the division, you might get an early start and understanding of that right away in the first 3 weeks. So Saints will open their calendar, open their schedule at the Atlanta Falcons, at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then at the Carolina Panthers. Then they travel to London. They take on another NFC opponent, 2 straight NFC opponents. They'll go to London to take on Minnesota, come back home to take on the Seahawks. The Saints got no favors from the NFL in terms of traveling to London, maybe getting some extra time off or anything like that. Nah, you're good. You got a week between each one. So you've got the Sunday before London, you're playing Carolina in Carolina. The Sunday after London, you're hosting the Seattle Seahawks. So it's going to happen pretty quick for them. Then they're going to turn around and have a quick turnaround again, week 7, to go up against the Arizona Cardinals. But then they've got some time to where they have a game on October 20th, then they have another game October 30th, and then another game November 7th. So that'll get you through the first 8 games with that final game on October 30th, the night before Halloween Eve, being against the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, last year, we saw the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play on Halloween. This year, we get the Saints and the Las Vegas Raiders playing on Halloween Eve. That's a pretty good game for some Halloween feel, right? The black and gold against the black and silver, really good stuff there. So if the Saints can come out of those first 8, they never do get a break from the NFL. That is very true. If the Saints can come out of that first 8 with 6 wins and then only walk away with 2 losses there, then that puts them in a really, really good situation because it prepares them and it kind of gets them away from the conversation that has been had over the course of the past few seasons where, oh, if the Saints would have just won that early game that they should have won, then they wouldn't be in this tiebreaker situation, this 3-way tiebreaker situation, this 4-way tiebreaker situation, whatever. This really, really helps a ton with how weak this schedule is. And think about the quarterbacks that they're playing at the beginning of this season, right? Through the first 8 games. Whether it be Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder, that's Atlanta. You got Tom Brady with Tampa Bay, but you've had his number for the past few seasons. You've really had his number for a while, but particularly since he's been in Tampa. Carolina, you've either got Sam Darnold or Matt Corral. Hello, give me that all day. Minnesota, you've got Kirk Cousins. Seattle, who knows? Who knows who you have against Seattle? Is it Geno Smith? Is it Drew Locke? Is it Baker Mayfield? Give me 2. Give me both. Give me 2 out of the 3. I don't care. I think the Saints are going to be better on defense than the Seattle Seahawks will be at quarterback. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Then you've got Joe Burrow and the Bengals. That's going to be a big test for them, particularly being, you know, trying to keep up with the air attack there. But the Saints have really put a lot of focus in on their secondary, have a ton of opportunity to be able to disguise things with Marcus May and Tyrann Mathieu both being sort of interchangeable in their roles. You've got very physical corners. Marshon Lattimore played 60% press coverage last year. He's going to be ready. Him and Ja'Marr Chase, that is going to be a mad fun matchup to watch. But that's a really good quarterback there. Kyler Murray, I still consider Kyler Murray like a mid-tier quarterback. I don't consider him a high-tier quarterback or a top-tier quarterback or an elite quarterback. I think he has the talent to get there, but I just him and Cliff Kingsbury, I feel like Cliff Kingsbury's system kind of holds him back a little bit, kind of accentuates the errors with the air raid situation, all that other stuff. So I'll give the Saints the edge when it comes to quarterback versus quarterback when it comes to the Cardinals. And then same thing for Derek Carr, who has one of the lowest average depths of target over the course of the last like three to five years, something like that. So you're not going to see a lot of airing the ball out when it comes to Las Vegas. And the Saints are going to be ready for the run games of Las Vegas, the run game of Seattle, the run game of Minnesota. That's going to be their sort of bread and butter over on the defensive side. So with all of that, that's why I look at the first half of this schedule, weeks 1 through 8, as A, remarkably important for the New Orleans Saints, and B, remarkably winnable games for them. And that's great because you need to start strong and finish strong with this schedule, especially opening with 3 division opponents. And guess what? At the end of the season, of the last 5 games, you see those 3 division opponents again. So that's what we're going to look at next. We're going to take a look at the second half of the schedule, weeks 9 through 18, including the bye week, of course, which is week 14. The Saints get a late bye this year. And talk about why it is that the New Orleans Saints are in a situation to where starting strong is important, but finishing strong may be even more important. We'll get to that as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. But first, it is my absolute pleasure to get to tell you live about Built Bars. I never get to do this live. Every time I do a live show, I never get the Built Bar. So I get to tell you about the Built Bars now. Let me see some Built Bars in the chat. Everybody loves a Built Bar. So Built Bar is without a doubt the best tasting protein bar in the market, on the market. Trust me, I've tried all the protein bars. Name one, I've tried it. Terrible compared to Built Bar, which is covered in 100% chocolate, but you're talking about 4 or 5 grams of protein, 4 or 5 grams of net carbs, but 17 grams of protein on top of that. I think I said 4 or 5 grams of protein. I meant 4 or 5 grams of sugar. They're low in sugar, super high in protein, super high in all the good things that you need to make sure that you are taking care of yourself throughout the day, especially with summer right around the corner. I'm going to hit them with them Built Bars, Amy. That's what I'm talking about. So do go ahead and check out the Built Bars as well. And don't forget the Built Puffs, including the Built Puffs, which are the marshmallow infused protein bars that are covered in 100% chocolate. They got them in birthday cake flavor now too. So if you're a fan of birthday cake like me, go and check them out. You can find everything you need over at built.com. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, so you can get 15% off of your next order. No matter if it's your first or your next, Built Bar, best tasty protein bar on the market. Use that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. We are wrapping up today's live episode here on Locked On Saints. Thank you so much to everybody who's live. Thank you so much to everybody that's watching and listening later. We appreciate you so much for being here. I do want to mention real quick, I'm seeing some talk in the chat right now about Alvin Kamara and his kind of relationship with the Saints, like what's going to happen in terms of his availability for the Saints early on in the season. I'll tell you this, his hearing isn't until August 1st. He has not made any kind of a plea or anything like that. And the NFL is going to wait until the very, very end of the legal process before they get to a situation in which they actually like hand down some discipline. So there's a good chance that Alvin Kamara is available at the beginning of the season for the Saints. And we've seen this with guys like Deonte Hardy, as well as PJ Williams in the past. So there's a good chance that Alvin Kamara could be available at the beginning of the season, but then see some discipline in the season. You tell me I need a nickname, y'all got to come up with it. I'm not coming up with my own nickname. Y'all got to give me the nickname. But when it comes down to, sorry, I'm talking to the chat for those who are listening later. So when you look at what it is that, you know, could happen with Alvin Kamara, there's a chance here because it takes a while for the NFL to kind of get this whole thing done. And it takes a while for the legal process, of course, to go. And this is still early in Alvin Kamara's legal process that he might actually be available at the beginning of the season, but could eventually figure, you know, be in a situation in which he's suspended at some point during the season. So something to watch. But I would expect some kind of discipline for sure. All right, so let's go ahead and jump in. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate y'all. Let's go ahead and jump in now to the back half of the schedule for the New Orleans Saints, starting at week 9 through week 18. Just a reminder, the Saints' bye week is week 14. So they have a late bye week. They've had bye weeks of week 6, week 5, week 9, week 6, week 6 over the course of the past 5 seasons. Now, week 14. And that, of course, would be the same season that they have a London game, week 4. So instead of getting the early bye week where it could have helped them maybe rest a little bit after the London travels, they instead end up in a situation to where they have a bye week at the end of the season. But it's okay. So you have the Baltimore Ravens on Monday Night Football Week 9. I take the Saints to take an L there. They've struggled a little bit with those mobile quarterbacks. Look at Jalen Hurts, for instance, and how much he hurts the Saints. All right, sorry, I had to do it to you once. But you look at all of that, that's a pretty good indicator that maybe the Saints will struggle a little bit against Lamar Jackson. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints sneak out a win in that one, if I'm being honest. Like, that's at home. That could be a big-time defensive matchup as well. Baltimore's defense isn't what it used to be, but Marcus Williams' revenge tour in that game, we'll see how that all goes. Oh, it's not really a revenge thing, right? Like, the Saints wanted him back. He just went somewhere else. So maybe it's a Saints revenge tour against Marcus Williams. If there's ever a time you were wishing that Marcus Williams forgot how to tackle, Week 9 on November 17th, Monday Night Football, that will be the time to do it. Then they'll follow up with another AFC North opponent with the Pittsburgh Steelers, November 13th, Week 10. And so this is really the gauntlet for the Saints, right? These five games, the Baltimore Ravens Week 9, at the Pittsburgh Steelers Week 10, hosting the Los Angeles Rams Week 11, at San Francisco Week 12, at Tampa Week 13. I could see the Saints winning three of those five games. And if they just won three out of those five, they're in a really, really good position there, because then they have some favorable games to close out after the bye week, because you've seen a lot of divisional matchups. Atlanta, right? You've just had Tampa. You get the bye week, then you've got Atlanta at home. You've got Cleveland on the road. You've got Philly on the road. You've struggled a little bit against Philly if you're the New Orleans Saints quite a bit. And then the Carolina Panthers back at home to close out the season, as is tradition. We see that like every season now that the Saints close out against the Carolina Panthers. So that puts you in a situation where if you can win out of those last nine games, you can walk away with six wins, even five wins, and finish the season, 11-6? You're in a really, really good position, particularly within your division and within the poor conference of the NFC, to still walk right into a wild card spot in that situation. So the real tough challenge is going to be weeks 9 through 13. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, Rams, 49ers, Tampa. That's going to be the toughest stretch for them. But just like starting strong is really important for the Saints, finishing strong is going to be remarkably important for the New Orleans Saints as well, with three divisional matchups in the last five games and four of the last five games being conference matchups. So all those weird tiebreakers that can happen, you want to try to fight against that as much as possible. And two games to really keep an eye out on that are non-divisional but that are conference games toward the end of the season that could have some immediate playoff implications: Week 12, San Francisco; Week 17, Philadelphia. Those are both games in which you could be in a situation to where you're playing for seeding, or worse, you're playing for tiebreakers just to get into the playoffs. And you don't want to be in that situation. You get those wins, that sets you up perfectly for that sort of playoff stretch, that postseason run. Let me reiterate. The New Orleans Saints, Jameis Winston, Dennis Allen, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, and all those guys on the defense, Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, Marshall Knight, this should be a playoff team in 2022. This should absolutely be a playoff team next year. This is a better roster than it was last season, and they finished 9-8 with impossible odds. Now you've got Matt Rhea in the building, who helped to reduce Alabama's soft tissue injuries by 50% when they bought into his system. Now you're looking at them bringing that guy in so that they don't have to start 58 different starters for a second year in a row. So a strong start is important, yes, but a strong finish equally, maybe even more important. So some of those big AFC matchups, that's where you kind of want to take the losses, because those won't really factor in to your, it'll factor into your schedule, right? Into your overall record. But in terms of those conference tiebreakers, potential three-way ties, stuff like that, the AFC losses don't really mean much. And so if you drop a game to the Cincinnati Bengals and you drop a game to the Baltimore Ravens, like I have predicted here, fine. You'll take that. That's fine. But you don't want to take, you know, five losses to NFC opponents. That's going to really hurt you. Even though you might still end up 12-5 in that case, that's going to hurt you in terms of the tiebreakers and all those other things. So for the Saints, division start, division finish, those are big. The meat in the middle, right? Weeks 9 through 13, those games, really important. And then the final bit is just effectively going to be making sure that you can keep your stamina, keep your fatigue all the way through ahead of the bye week. Got a couple of other questions here that I want to get before we wrap up. Marty Frost asking about, what about Marcus May early on in the season? I would expect Marcus May to maybe miss a couple of games early on in the season. His stuff is kind of moving a little bit more quickly. So that one seems to be a pretty good indicator that two or three games might end up being him. But that's okay. You've got PJ Williams. You potentially have a guy like Smoke Monday that can move into a role. You signed Justin Evans who can walk into a role. And then, of course, you got Tyrann Mathieu who can do a little bit of everything. So you're in a good position there. What would help the New Orleans Saints before they get into training camp? Of course, mini camps are tomorrow. Watch out. Chris Olave is going to be wearing number 12. Shout out Marcus Colston. But when you look at the Saints and their roster right now, what's the one additional piece that they need to make sure they can have that fast start and finish with that fast finish as well, that big time finish? Jarvis Landry. And I've seen some people talk about like, oh, look, Jarvis Landry is going to want $15 million. It doesn't matter what he wants. It doesn't matter what he wants. It is May 12th in these streets. Okay, you're not getting a full contract May 12th. Julio Jones ain't going to get a full contract. Jarvis Landry ain't going to get a full contract. So that's something to watch out for too, how the New Orleans Saints continue to build at the wide receiver spot, how the New Orleans Saints continue to build at the defensive interior spot. So those are going to be the two things that I think can make a huge difference for them by the time that they begin with the season. All right, y'all. I appreciate you as always for making us your first listen of the day here on Locked On Saints. Thank you to all of those of you who joined live. Thank you to all of those of you who are catching the show later. Very much appreciate you being here for our, I believe this is our first ever live YouTube show. So I appreciate you being here. We'll do more of these throughout the offseason as well. But the New Orleans Saints schedule is out. When we come back on Monday, right, we'll take the weekend off. When we come back on Monday, we're going to look at the first quarter of the schedule. We're going to break out the schedule into quarters and then talk a little bit more about keys to victory, what it is that the New Orleans Saints should be doing now to prepare for these games later. So we'll break all of that down, starting off with the first four games, the three divisional matchups, and London up against Minnesota. Now that you're done here, make sure you go and check out the Locked On NFL podcast, everything you need around the league in less than 30 minutes with hosts like myself, as well as your boy Q, Chris Carter, Tony Wiggins. You've got Luke Braun out there as well. There's so much going on all throughout the NFL, and the one place to get all of it is Locked On NFL, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube as well. I appreciate y'all as always for coming out for the show today. Again, whether you're live or you're catching it later, I really, really, really appreciate y'all. And for everything you need around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holler.